Okay. Are we recording? We're live? All right. Hello, World Wide Web. Okay. We are going to be in James, the book of James, chapter 1, verse 2. One thing you'll find out about James is he doesn't beat around the bush. It's like verse 2, he's in your face immediately. The person who wrote this book is not the disciple James that when you're reading about Jesus, it's, you know, James and John, and Peter, James, and John are kind of the inner circle. This is not that James. This is actually Jesus's, I guess he's his half-brother, his actual brother. He did not believe that Jesus was the Christ while Jesus was alive. It's an interesting character. It's an interesting scenario. So this is that James. This is Jesus' actual physical brother that wrote this book. He is very much, at this point when he writes it, this has been, I think, 30 to 40 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. He's very much the leader in the church of Jerusalem, kind of the Jewish people. He really spoke to the Jewish church. He really spoke to Jewish people that were living among Gentiles. He was very much that guy. So he carried a lot of weight in what he said, and he doesn't mince words when he talks. He's very challenging. He challenges, what are you doing with your faith? You know, that's his big thing is, you know, I'll show you my faith with my works. He's all about not just talking about it, let's do something about it. It is a very challenging book. It's a wonderful book. It needs to be read often. But we're going to start real quick in just a few verses. I don't know how long this will take tonight. Sid asked me to do tonight, Sunday, and next Wednesday night, and I have like three or four things that I feel are stirring around, and I didn't know which one was for tonight. And honestly, when I got off work today, I still didn't know which one was for tonight. I feel that this is the one we need to do tonight. It may be short and sweet. I don't know, guys. Just anytime you open the Word, listen to the speaker, listen to what's being brought, but also be meditating and taking it captive. You know, as God allows, you know, just receive what He's saying. In verse 2, I'm going to read it out of the NIV, and I'm probably going to read it. I'm going to read you a couple versions because it's so short. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I had this pulled up because Cindy was asking me about it just a second ago. Okay, out of the NIV it says this, and he's talking to the church. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. It's kind of tough. Kind of tough way of saying. Let's read it another way. I'm going to read it out of the Passion Translation. It says it just a little bit differently as far as the wording. It says, my fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy you can. For you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up power within you to endure all things. And then, as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing and nothing lacking. So he's basically saying when hard times come, consider it joy. Consider what the positives of that thing are going to be. He's not telling us to just pretend like it's okay. He's not telling us when difficult trials in our life come that we just put on this fake smile and say, oh, this is great. I love going through this trial. I love this thing happening. That's not what he's saying. He is saying to consider it pure joy, to consider it, as it says in the Passion Translation, an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. So it's a little bit different than just pretending like everything's okay. This is a real easy thing to write down. This is a real easy thing to preach. This is a really, really, really hard thing to live. I always tell Sid, that preaches good, but lives like poop. It doesn't live good, but it preaches good. This is one of those verses. Boy, it preaches good. But when you're living it and walking in it, you're like, so I'm supposed to, while I'm going through this trial, I'm supposed to be looking for the silver lining of this. It sounds real easy. Or it sounds real difficult. It says it real easy. But that's what the truth of it is. God will challenge you with what you need to hear. He's not always going to tell us what we want to hear. So, I want to start off in this. In verse 2, it says something very important. It says that whenever you face trials. Notice it doesn't say if you face trials. That's a very, very important thing for the church to understand. It's a very, very important thing for us as believers who have this deep relationship with Christ, who are working on this deep relationship with Christ, who wherever we're at, sometimes we get the idea, and I know we say this all the time, but it really is. Sometimes we get the idea that we think when the deeper we go with God and the closer we get with God and the more spiritual I get and the more I know the Bible and the more I'm worshiping God and the more I pray and just the more better Christian I am, the easier and smoother my life will be. This was written by a man who was being persecuted. Okay, they weren't, oh man, they kicked me out of a restaurant because I believe in Jesus. No, they would take people, hang them on poles and light them on fire and use them as lanterns at night if you believe in Christ. They were throwing you in pits with lions to tear your body apart. These are the trials that he's talking about. He's not talking about, the express line, somebody in front of you had 15 items and you had 10 and you were in a hurry and you were going to be late. That's not the trials he was talking about. Not that it can't apply to every trial that you have, but he's talking about life or death. He's talking about martyrs. He's losing his, brothers and sisters left and right. He watched his brother, the Christ, be crucified. So this is real stuff. He's not flippantly writing this, is what I'm trying to tell you. He's not just writing this. He's not in work at Hallmark, and he's just trying to come up with some cute things to say, to put on a card. He's telling you this out of a place of, I walk every day in a hard place. So this is real experience speaking here. It's very real. It says when, not if. We are all going to go through trials. And it's not one, it's not two. It's until they close the casket on us one day, or however it happens, that you're going to have trials. We're in life, we're in a sin-cursed world. That is part of it. That is part of it. Sickness, all these things. That wasn't in the Garden of Eden. That wasn't there until we decided we were going to sin and we were going to go against God. And so we have inherited a sin-cursed world. So you're going to have trials. You're going to have difficulties. People are going to get sick in this world. We're going to lose people when we shouldn't lose people. We are going to face things and see evil things that we should never see, that don't make sense, that we can't understand. So it's when, not if. God never, this idea that when you get saved, everything's going to be perfect is nowhere in the Bible. When you get saved, you're going to have a relationship. And yes, you're going to achieve perfection one day in heaven. But it never tells us that our life is all of a sudden going to become easy. I think most of us who have been in church understand that. But it's still one of those things that people kind of get hit in the face with sometimes. Like, man, I'm just a good Christian. Why is this happening to me? Well, maybe because you're a good Christian. God doesn't cause things. That's one thing I want to make sure that you all understand. God's not going to cause sickness. God's not going to come in and intentionally do evil things or let evil things happen. It's not his nature. He doesn't operate that way. But because we're in a sin-cursed world, these things will happen, not because he caused them to happen. But God can use every situation, everything that happens. He can turn it for his good. He can flip anything. And he can get something out of the silver lining, if you will. It's bigger than a silver lining. He can use it for his kingdom. He can use it for, like, real good. Anything. We think as soon as we face trials that God has left us, that we've done something wrong. there is an element of reaping what we sow. There is an element of we've done this, so this is going to happen. You know, if I go put my foot on the railroad track and a train comes by, it's going to chop my foot off. That's going to happen. That's just going to happen. That's going to be, I reap that, I sowed that, it's going to happen. But God has not left me. God has not left you. He will never leave you. That's not what He is. He doesn't do that. He just can't do that. The trial is not God has left me. And there's also the idea that God is punishing us. And that's a big, in a secular world that just barely believes in God, that thinks that maybe there's a higher power, there's this idea that God will punish people. That is not in His nature. That is not in His new covenant with us through Christ. Now, if you read in the Old Testament, that's a different world. And that's a thing that's kind of somewhat difficult to understand, is you had the Old Testament, which was one covenant. You have a new covenant that God laid down with us through Jesus. And this covenant is a covenant of grace and of love and forgiveness. And He so wants for us to be in His kingdom with Him that He made this ultimate sacrifice. So God's not doing these things to punish us when we have these trials. And listen, trials, like I said, this was severe trials. This is serious trials that when this was written and what James was talking about were like life and death stuff, torture, like serious stuff. And you think, I'm inconvenienced right now because I'm just not quite making enough money to make ends meet. And so that's not as big a deal as what James is going through. So this trial really doesn't stack up. God's not that worried about it. No, He is. I don't want you guys to misunderstand me, that God doesn't care about things unless they're really, really big. God cares about every minute detail of your life. He cares about every little thing that's going on in your life because He is so in love with you. He cares so much about you. When you are in love with someone, I'm in love with my wife. I care about everything in her life. She's studying her brains out right now, trying to get some more stuff submitted for school, and I care very much about what she's doing. I care very much how much stress she's under. I care very much about all these things because I love her. I love her very much. Is it affecting me? Am I having to take any tests? Am I having to turn any papers in? No, I'm not. But I care about what's going on in her life. I care about what's happening in my children's life, the struggles that they go through in school. I care about if Susie Q and Johnny whoever, you know, are being mean to whoever. I care about that because it affects my children. So if it affects you, it's affecting God's children, so He cares very much about it. Okay? So don't ever think my problem's too big for God, and never think that my problem is too small for God. Basically, if it's you, God can take care of it, and God cares. Just kind of keep that. Because so many times, I do this. I never worry about the big things, but sometimes I won't pray about something because I'm like, that's just life. I'm not going to bother God with that. And I've been doing this thing a long time, and I know better, and I still do it. I still say, I'm just not going to bother God with that. God, whatever you want to do, you know. Now, bring it to Him. Bring it to Him. But when God sees us now, you see, in this new covenant, when God sees us, guys, He sees us through a different lens. It's like He's put these grace glasses on. And they're red colored because of Jesus' blood. And when He puts it on, He's not seeing all that stuff. He is seeing His Son. He is seeing this beautiful bride in His church. That's what He's seeing. So, let's talk about opportunity. This is almost like James is saying you're being presented with this opportunity. What is this opportunity? This opportunity it's an opportunity to expose our character. Expose what's going on in our lives. Expose what's making us tick. Under pressure. Have you ever known somebody and thought you knew somebody and kind of done a little bit of life with somebody and you feel like, okay, well, I kind of know this person. Yeah, I know this person. Okay, I see how they work. I see how they think. And then you unexpectedly get put in a very pressure-packed, difficult situation with that person and seen a completely different side of them. Is that it? Anybody? Y'all experienced that? I think everybody probably has experienced that. Somebody's experienced it with you, too. Okay? That can go a lot of different ways. That can go a lot of different ways. I've been in situations where I thought somebody was like, okay, yeah, we got this. It's no big deal. Whatever we're going through. And they'll just completely wig out. And they'll completely crumble. And they'll completely fall apart. And you're like, wow. I didn't know. I thought that they had more to them than that. I thought that they could handle this situation. But apparently they can't. I have been that person. I promise you, with somebody else. I thought, man, I thought James could handle this. But I guess he can't. Well, you know. It exposes things. When you go through trials and you go through difficulties and you go through this stuff, it exposes a lot of stuff. Our God likes to expose stuff. He likes to expose stuff. Because you don't fix things, you don't get in deeper relationship unless things are exposed. All right, if you're in a relationship with somebody and all you ever talk about is the weather, that's it, okay? You're weather buddies. That's great. I have those people, and that's fine. You don't have to be in super deep relationship with everybody that you meet. But I have weather buddies that's just like, hey, yeah, how's the weather? Okay, yeah, it's good. I know it's hot today. Yeah, it's cold. Yeah, you know. Not that I have to ask you about the weather, because I actually do care about the weather, because we don't work in an air-conditioned office. So, but anyway, if that's all we ever talked about, if we never talked about worship, if we never talked about deeper things, and all I would get is, how's the weather today, guys? That's a certain level of relationship. That's not a relationship with God. God needs to expose things in our life because He wants us to continually get more like His Son. See, what He wants to do is He wants to make us all like Jesus. He wants us all to get as close as we absolutely can to His Son, Jesus, because He loves His Son so much. He wants us all to be just like Him. And He wants us all to be like Him because in being like Christ, we are closer to Him. And when we have this closer relationship with Him, He's happier, we're happier, everybody's happier. So it is for a purpose. It's not just so I can make all these great Christians. It's because He desires a deeper relationship with you. And He knows if you have a deeper relationship with Him, you will be more fulfilled. You will be happier. You will do His will. You will... It's this beautiful relationship that He wants to have. But to have that, we have to get real. We have to get real. He has to get real with us. He has to shed off all this stuff that we put on us. Okay, so He sees trials as opportunities. He sees these trials as opportunities for us to see things in ourselves that we need to fix, see things in ourselves that we need to work on, or... Flip side, it's easy to go down that road. Or you'll find out something about yourself that is awesome that you didn't realize. You'll find out sometimes that you're stronger than you give yourself credit for. You'll find out sometimes that your faith is stronger and your relationship with God is, hey, you know what? God got me through that. God got me through that. He walked me through that. So sometimes God uses failures to teach us, and sometimes He uses victories to teach us. So don't just expect all the time, well, God's going to tear me down. No, God may be putting you through this trial to build you up for the very fact that you don't believe in yourself near as much as He does. I'll tell you that right now. I promise you that God has way more trust and faith in what you can do than you have in Him, or than you have in your ability through Him. So a lot of times that's what's going to happen. I don't know. I mean, like the Braves today, under pressure, got to win this game. We have got to win this game if we are going to move on. We hadn't won a series since, what, early 2000s? I mean, it's been forever since the Braves. So here we are. We got this young guy on the mound, this young guy that can pitch. We got this young team that has never been here before. They've never faced an elimination game like this before. And so what did we expose? Well, apparently they can score 10 runs in one inning, apparently. Not us, them. You cave under pressure. So you know what will happen after the game or in the off season, everything else, they're going to look at it and they're going to say, all right, and the pitcher that pitched today is going to say, okay, well, either it's going to kill me or it's going to make me better, one or the other. Pressure exposes things. He allows us to see our weaknesses and our strengths through these situations. Let's move to verse 3. Chapter 1, verse 3, just the next little section there. And if anybody's got anything to add to this, any words of wisdom, please do, because I really was struggling on which direction to go on this tonight. I'm going to get to a minute where I originally was started kind of going down this road. It says in verse 3, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance, the definition of perseverance, I think everybody knows what it is. Continued effort to do or achieve something despite difficulties, failure, or opposition. The action or condition of an insistence of steadfastness. Very wordy. Basically, you're going to, you know, persevere. The Passion Translation uses the word endurance. Let's read it there in verse 3. For you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up power within you to endure all things. And then your endurance grows even stronger. The King James Version uses the word patience there. So that's kind of the three. I looked at a bunch of different ones. That's kind of the three words. But I'll be honest with you. I'm not an English major. All those things about mean the same thing to me. And they do. That's why they're translated slightly different, but they're meaning the same thing. They're meaning patience. Gosh, that's one that Christians don't like. We don't like patience. Patience is one of those things. You know, every preacher tells you, don't pray for patience. Oh, my goodness. Don't do that, because then, like, you pray for other things and you feel like God immediately is or going to wait. You know, like if I pray for wisdom, it's going to be one of those things that God waits 20 years to give me. But if I pray for patience, my gosh, on the way home, he's going to start. You know, it's one of those things. We're afraid to pray for patience. But endurance, perseverance, these things kind of fall in that line. The thing about them all is these are all long-term, what I would call long-term words. These things aren't achieved overnight. These things aren't achieved in 8-9 months. These things aren't achieved in 1 or 2 years. These things are achieved over every day, doing what you're supposed to do. It's a lifestyle of growth. Perseverance, endurance, patience. It's all those, you just think of those long-term things. Where I came from this is I kept feeling like, I felt like God told me that there is some significance in some teaching and wanted me to talk about different trails that you can hike. I like to hike. I used to do it a lot, not as much anymore. But like, you know, go out on a trail when I was, you know, I was a scout and we did, you know, 12 days hiking in New Mexico. I've done that kind of stuff. I really am more of a day hiker now. I don't like sleeping on the ground anymore. But in the hiking world, it is a sport, if you will, is a hobby of endurance. It's a hobby of, you know, I can get here a lot easier on a car, on a horse, on a dirt bike, something, but I'm going to just strap on a pair of boots and I'm going to walk. I'm going to walk for however many miles. And I'm going to do this thing that requires me to, especially if like you're backpacking, you're actually carrying your tent, your food and all that stuff, I'm going to carry this load and I'm going to walk. And why do I do that? Why do people hike? They hike for different reasons. I hike when I used to hike, and when especially now when I hike, I'm 100% interested in seeing where I'm going. I want to see this trail. I want to see where it takes me. I want to see this. I want to see that. We've been blessed with the opportunity to go out west the last couple of summers, and it's just like, when you're hiking, you say, oh my goodness, every turn you're seeing these different things. Some people hike to exercise. I'm not a big exerciser. That's the part I don't like about it. But And then you have some people that are hiking because it's a goal. They're very goal-oriented. I was talking to Brett Kent about their hike. They just went out to Park City and hiked one of the mountains that's out there for Aaliyah's birthday. I would not enjoy hiking with Brett Kent. I'll tell you that right now. Because he is like goal-oriented. It is 100% how fast can I get to where I'm supposed to be going and how fast can I get back to the truck. But that's the challenge, and that's what he enjoys in it. He enjoys the challenge of how quickly can I do this. And I'll be like the whole time, like, dude, there's mountains. What? Mountains? Yeah, well, over there. And he'd be like, I don't care. I'm not worried about the mountains. He's not worried about that part. He's worried about this goal that he set. He's worried about getting to where he's wanting to go and then getting back or however it goes. I am, but while I'm doing it, I'd like to see something because I'm not out there every day. You know what I mean? But in the world of hiking, and this is kind of where God kept telling me this, and there may be more to it, I don't know. But there's basically three kinds of trails that you'll get on. And I'm not talking about the difficulty of the trail. I'm talking about how a trail's set up. You've got what they call an out and back trail. So that's basically, it is one line, you're going to where you're going, and then to get back, or when you're finished, you've got to come out the exact same way. It's very simple. It makes sense. Out and back. You're going to go out, you're going to see whatever you're going to see, and then you're going to turn around and you come straight back. Then they have the loop trail. A loop trail is you're going to start at a certain location. You're going to loop around and come back to the exact same location. That's just a loop trail. And then you have a through trail. Generally, those are more like through hikers. A through trail is basically Appalachian Trail, Continental Divide Trail, Pacific Crest Trail, those things that are these extremely long trails. They don't have to be that long. The main thing is you don't end up where you start on a through trail. You end up at a completely different place. If you park where you start a through trail and leave your car there, you're never going to see it again unless you've made arrangements, unless you turn your through trail into an out and back. It means you got to turn all the way around. So the idea is that you're going to hike through an area, and you're going to end up in a different destination. So I kept feeling like God was throwing that at me, and I'm like, okay, so what does that have to do with anything? Is it just because I've been listening to hiking podcasts or what? Do you feel like, let's start this way. With a through hike, and I want to do this on the spiritual side, and everything we're talking about, it's not about hiking, it's about our journey. It's about our journey with God. And it's about this hike that we're on with God. It's about this, where am I going? So sometimes in our faith journey, we can be going down something, and the things that we're experiencing in a day-to-day interaction with God feels like it's getting us to a new place with God. We know I'm going to a new level with God. This is going to happen. This is probably happening to you guys right now. It's because you've had this time to focus on God. You've had this time to focus on yourself. And so what's going to happen is you guys are almost, to a certain degree, on this through hike. Like, I'm starting right here, and this is where I'm at with God right now, but He is taking me on this journey, and through this journey, I am going to get to a new place with God. Where I left my truck is where I left my truck. It's gone. I'm at a new place with God now. I'm in a different level with God. I'm in a different understanding with God. I've walked through something with God. I have walked through something. I have come through something, and now I'm on the other side. And so in our journey with God sometimes, we almost know this is a through hike. I'm going somewhere. I'm getting somewhere different with God. I'm getting to a higher place, a better place, a deeper understanding. Whatever God's doing in your life, you have those moments. As a Christian, you have those moments. As in this faith journey that we walk, you have those moments. You have those periods of time. And sometimes it's a season where you're just, man, I feel like I'm getting somewhere. I'm doing something. I'm passing this milestone and I won't pass it again. I'm passing this one, I won't pass it again. So just be aware that that happens. That's part of your faith journey. Another part of your faith journey, I think this is really where I'm wanting to get, is sometimes you feel like you're traveling in a circle. And this happens. This is not just a one-time thing, guys. All of us who have been in this world for a while, all these, you're going to be on every trail. And sometimes you can feel like you're on multiple trails at one time. But sometimes we feel like we're going in a circle. If you read in the Word, and we've studied some about the children of Israel and how when they came out of Egypt, you know, they were delivered out of captivity in Egypt, and God had this promised land for them. And they were promised this new place. When we get saved, we're almost promised this great relationship with God. It's going to happen. If you do this, then it's going to happen. But sometimes we feel like we're just in the desert and we're going around in a circle. And if you're like, I know we're going somewhere, but I feel like we're going back to where we started. Sometimes God will put you on a loop trail. Sometimes God will allow you to go down a loop trail. A trail that when you get done, you may be back to right where you started. But that's not always a bad thing. If you find yourself in this loop, it doesn't mean you're out of God's will. When we were in, this past summer, we were in, we got to go to the Grand Teton National Park. There is, Jenny Lake is there. It's kind of a famous hike there. And what you get to do on Jenny Lake is you can do a big loop, or you can hike around it and ride a boat back, which is what we did because it was pretty long and we were tired. So you like hike to the other side of the lake, up through the mountains. It's gorgeous, and seeing the Tetons and everything, and then you can ride a boat back. National Park Service runs it. It's really cool. So as we take off on this hike, we see this. It's called Moose Pond Loop. So we're hiking along, and we're like, hey, this is like a little loop trail or something. Let's go check this out. When we were on that main loop, it was pretty crowded. The day we were there, it was like, oh, there were like a lot of people. For a trail, you know, if you're seeing somebody every couple of minutes, it feels a little bit crowded. So we saw this loop trail, and we said, hey, let's check it out. We just had started hiking. We weren't tired yet. We were feeling good, and it said Moose Pond. We wanted to see a moose, so I'm assuming there's going to be a moose in the pond. I mean, that's why it's named that, right? So we're like, let's go check this out. So we go and do this little hike. It's like adds a mile, mile and a half onto our hike. We did see a moose. It was not in the pond. I saw ponds. I saw a moose. So I guess put them together, that's what you get. It was pretty cool. It was neat. But, you know, nobody was on that trail. Right when we started, there was a couple in front of us. And then they realized it wasn't the main trail anymore, and they turned around. And I'm like, well, we're going to go. We've come this far. I want to see kind of where it goes. I've never been here before. This is a cool place. It's beautiful. You know, we're just kind of all in awe of the whole thing because, you know, it's gorgeous out there. So we do this whole trail, and I'm looking at the map, and I just feel like something's wrong about it. I'm like, the lake is on the ponds are on our left in real life, but in the map, they should be on our right. And I used to read a map back in the day. I'm like, something's just not right about this. I said, but I'm in a national park. There's no way this is, you know, not going to work out. So we keep hiking. And just the map, just it's almost like if I flipped it over, it would be right. I'm like, surely it's going to end up somewhere. You know, we saw the moose. Well, there's a moose. We've got to be on the right place. I mean, the moose is here. It knows. So we get back out to the main trail finally. It does loop around. But we got to a place we had already been. And it was like we were back on the trail, the main trail, like we had backtracked. I had missed the entrance of the loop. And I had started at the end of the loop. And that's why my map looked backwards, because I had started, I missed where it cut off. And there was no signage, by the way, National Park Service, there was no signage telling me that that's where it started. It just had a sign where it ended. So what you basically did is you went back around and to the bottom, and then you had to hike where you had already hiked, which was no big deal. I wasn't complaining. I was in a beautiful place. I saw things on that loop trail that the people that turned around and went back did not see. We saw a massive bull moose eating grass that nobody else on that trail saw that day, because we went in this loop. God needs you sometimes to see something that He's not worried about somebody else seeing. It's just for you. It's just for you. It's just so you will see this thing. It's just so you can learn this thing about yourself. That's why He will do it, because He knows, hey, James needs to learn this about himself. James needs to see this about himself. And the whole time we're like, well, I really don't want to learn anything about myself. I'm trying to get in a new place with you. I want to through hike and get to another place with you, God. That's what I want to do. And God says, you cannot get to another place with me until you know a little bit more about you. Until you know a little bit more about what you can do, the strengths that you do have. See, my mom was with us on that hike. My mom is 72 years old. She's not a hiker. But she went with us, and she was bound and determined to stay with us and her grandkids and see all this stuff. We encountered snow on that loop. And she had never hiked in the snow. She had never done any of this stuff. And it was a short trail, and it was kind of cool, so she got to realize that, hey, if I step this way, I'm okay. Hey, if I balance this way, I'm okay. So she kind of learned a little bit how to hike in the snow, this packed down, messy snow. Nobody really knows how to hike in this stuff. I'm just pretending. But, I mean, you know, she got her balance and figured that out. Later on in our trip, we went to another trail that was literally snow for miles. But she had already done that loop. She'd already gotten her feet a little cold and a little wet walking through that. So when the other one happened and there was miles of this snow, slippery stuff, you know how many times she fell? Zero. How many times I fell? Two or three. I don't know. God sometimes needs you to learn something. The hard part is identifying, where am I at? That's where we get lost, guys. That's where we get lost. We're like, man, I'm reading my Bible and I'm doing everything right, but I feel like I'm going in this circle. I don't know where I'm at on the map. I don't understand where I'm at on the map. Just keep going. And if you backtrack a little bit, it's okay. Because you know what? Sometimes we're going to mess up and we're going to feel like we fall backwards a little bit. Like, man, I just feel like last month I was doing so much better with God. And this month, gosh, it's just, I feel like I've fallen off the bandwagon a little bit. I feel like I've made mistakes. I feel like, you know, I had made all this progress and I was so spiritual the other day, but now I just don't feel like I'm as spiritual. It's okay. The loop may have brought you back and you may need to recover some ground. It's okay. Don't give up. We saw this couple. There was a family from Tennessee when we were on the same loop. They gave up on it right before they got to the moose. They weren't on it at the same time. We talked to them later. We saw them. They're like, no, we didn't see the moose. They're like, yeah, did you go around that pond? And no, we turned around before we got there. Don't turn around on God. When He's got you going somewhere, you keep going. If everybody in the world feels like they're going that way, and I'm not talking about going off in sin, I'm not talking about going away from God, but if you feel like God's journey is taking the people this way, but for some reason God's got you going this way. That's the key. God has got you going this way. You don't worry about where everybody's going. You worry about where God's going. You worry about where He's taking you, because He is wanting to show you something so special. All right? Then you've got the in and out. And I feel like this is significant too. I'm going to finish this up. I had no idea that I could ramble this long about trails. I apologize. I hope this means something to somebody tonight. The thing about an in and out trail, to me, I'm not crazy about them. Because it's like, I mean, I'm going to do it. It's fun. But it's like, I've already seen this. You know, you go in. You go out. We did one up in North Georgia. What was the name of that park? You literally go down to a hole that's got a beautiful waterfall in it, and you come back out of the hole. I can't remember. Cloudland Canyon or something like that, one of those up there in North Georgia. It's beautiful, but it's like a million stairs. It's like a million stairs going down there. It's not good. It was rough. I would not advise going to the second waterfall, by the way. It doesn't look any different than the first one that you come to, and it's like 4 million more stairs. So just see the first one, turn around, come back out. But anyway. An in-and-out trail. When you go on a trail that's an in-and-out trail, so you go on this thing, you see the destination, you see this beautiful vista or whatever it's going to, waterfall, whatever it's going to. So God may take you somewhere, but then you feel like he's just taking you right back. It's not even a loop. I'm not even getting to see new stuff as I go around. Because in a loop trail, you're seeing new stuff the whole time. You never revisit the thing that you've passed when you're doing a loop trail. But when you do an in-and-out hike, heck, you can leave your backpack somewhere and just pick it up on the way back. You're going to see the same stuff again. Like, well, I remember that rock. You know, when you're hiking, a lot of times when you're hiking, you'll kind of remember something. If there's a downed tree or something, your mind just remembers it. And you're like, oh, yeah, I remember that. It's just landmarks. You're just going to remember it. You're going to see them. What happens, though, when you're out in nature and you're out in God's creation, like we talked about the Sunday night, about how you're in God's creation, he built us to be in those places. Your perspective will be different on your way back than it was on the way out. You have one perspective when you're going down this journey, when you're going down this path with God, and if God turns you around and brings you exactly back from where you came from, he doesn't even let you loop. You go this way, and he's like, nope, go back, and you go back this way. You are a different person coming back than you were when you were going there. When I go on a hike, if we go on a hike and I go see this waterfall, you know what? I have seen this waterfall. I'm a different person coming back. Sometimes God needs us to pass something multiple times. This is a huge part of being a Christian. This is a huge part of our walk with him. God is going to teach you things. God is going to teach us stuff, guys. He's going to teach us about love, but you know how many times I'm going to have to walk past this rock called love that I can learn about? Hundreds of times. Every time you walk past something, you may see it at a different angle. You know, because this basket, you know, well, that's not a terrible example because it's round. You know, this is going to look this way from this angle. But when I see it this way, I see all this cardboard inside of it. And then when I see it on this side, it's got a buckle on it. If I'm just walking past this on a through trail, yep, red box. I saw a red box. That's great. Okay, you saw a red box. That's not what God's worried about. But sometimes that red box may hold something super important. And you get here and God says, now I want you to go back. Oh, there's that red box again. Oh, I didn't realize I had a handle on it. Nope, go back. Okay, well, there's that red box. Oh, look, it's got papers inside of it. God will always, 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 always make sure you get out of what you need to get out of any situation. And if you haven't gotten it, it's okay. It's okay to be on a through, an out and back trail. It's okay to go back and forth sometimes until you get what you need to get. That's more important sometimes than you ending up from Springer Mountain in Georgia up in Maine. God's not necessarily worried about that. Yes, God wants to take you to new places. Yes, he will take you to new places. But even in a loop trail, even on an in-and-out trail, God will teach you and bring you to different places. All this ties in, James, the trials that you walk through, the perseverance that you must have. Keep walking. Keep walking. Guys, where y'all are at right now, keep walking. Yeah, I think ultimately you're on this through trail. Ultimately, God's getting you from this place to this place. You are going to be different men when you walk out of the doors of the Blake House than you walked in it. But inside that, you're going to have loop trails. You're going to have in and out back trails. You're going to have all this stuff. You're going to have little short through trails. You're going to have long. You're going to have all this stuff happen. Just make sure you are following where he tells you to go. All right? Because he has a specific plan for each and every one of us. He has a specific trail pattern. When I went to New Mexico, I'm going to wrap this up. When we went to New Mexico when I was hiking, that was the biggest hike I'd ever done. It was, I can't remember, we were out there like 12 days. The older I get, the longer the hike gets. I think it was actually 80 miles, but I think I'm up to like 120 miles now. Yeah, we did 120 miles, you know. In the world of hiking, it wasn't that big a deal, but for me, you know, I was 115 pounds soaking wet, carrying a 75-pound backpack. It was pretty rough. When we got there, we all had to pick our route. everybody didn't hike the same. There was hundreds of trails on this property. It was a massive, massive ranch that they'd been donated to the Boy Scouts years and years ago. Hundreds of trails on it. But they basically wanted you to end in the same place. It was the Tooth of Time is what they called it. If you watch Lonesome Dove, the original movie, there's a bison stampede, and there's this big giant rock in the back of it that you see just for a split second. That was the Tooth of Time. I climbed to the top of that. Anyway, that's where you had to end. But they didn't give two flips how you got there. But you had to show them on the map how you were going to get there. You could take an easy route if you wanted to. You could take a hard route if you wanted to. They didn't really care. But the main goal was, in 12 days, you've got to be here. Now, if you want to do this, this, and this, then you need to go here, here, and here. God has a specific plan for each and every one of you. Our ultimate destination is the same. Yes, heaven, but I'm talking about relationship with Him. I'm talking about deep relationship with Him as that ultimate goal. But each one of you, He has a very specific path. Because we went by a river, and we got to fly fish at one place. We got to make our own flies. I actually took a nap, but the guys that did it got to make their own flies and fly fish. Not everybody went by that river in that fly shop. Not everybody did that. Some people went farther into the mountains. Everybody does things differently. Don't compare your journey with your brothers. Don't compare your journey with anybody else's. As long as you know, as long as you've got that enough relationship with God that you're hearing His voice and you know that I am on the path that I'm supposed to be. Is the thing you don't want to do is get on the wrong path that's leading you somewhere you shouldn't go. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. And that's where Psalm 119:105 says, "Your word is a light unto my feet, a light unto my..." It illuminates my path. Your word shows me where to go. Guys, stay in this. Stay in prayer. Stay in worship. And He will guide you. He will lead you. I hope that was for somebody in here tonight. If not, they'll return your money at the door. Let's just turn on a little worship music. Guys, if y'all need to come down and just say, "God, I don't know where I'm at." That's okay. The worst thing you can do when you're lost is to keep walking. Say, "God, where am I at? What kind of trail am I on? Where am I going here? You know, what's happening here?" If you need to know that tonight, find that out. If you're like, "God, I just need faith and I need perseverance to keep going. I need you to be clear as to what I need to do." Whatever you need to do, guys, do that. I don't think we got communion tonight. I'm sorry about that. I should have double-checked that, but I'm just going to close this in prayer. But if you need to sort some stuff out with God, He is the ultimate GPS system. Heavenly Father, I just thank You, God, for who You are. God, I thank You so much that You care about every step that we take. You care about every foothold that we get. As we climb mountains, and as we go down mountains, and as we cross rivers, and as we go up and down trails, and as we go through this journey of life that You have put us on, God, we know that You equip us. We know that You won't lead us anywhere that You can't lead us through. God, we are so thankful for this light, this lantern of the Word that You've given us that teaches us so much, and it even tells us the hard things. It even tells us, God, that yes, You're going to have difficult times. Yes, it's going to be tough. Yes, You're going to want to give up. Yes, You're not going to necessarily always see Me so clearly. But if you just keep with it and you persevere, then you will eventually become that perfect person that I want you to be. You'll eventually become more and more like My Son. God, thank You so much for never, ever giving up on us, God. Thank You so much for creating loop trails for us so that we can discover something about ourselves that will take us to the next level, God. We thank You so much for different perspectives that You give us as we come in and out, sometimes the same direction. We feel like we're just going back and forth to God, but You are teaching us something. With every step we take, You are teaching us. You are loving us, God. Thank You for who You are, Heavenly Father. Thank You for being in this place tonight, God. Thank You for Your Word. God, be with everyone in this room. God, be with our brothers in the Blake house. God, be with our brothers and sisters in this house, God. Let us see You, Heavenly Father. I pray that You just hand us maps. I pray that we see maps tonight, God. I pray that we see where we're at and where you want us to go tonight, God. And I pray that it instills confidence in us. Lord, we love you, God. We just praise your holy name, God. It's in your Son's name, God. It's in your Son's holy name that we can come to you the way that we come to you, God. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen.